My goodness, thank you, band, as always. Aren't they something? Over and over again, we get to hear that, don't we? And I trust that you feel grateful as I do about that. Well, I want to welcome you to this third Sunday in this month of mystery. I began last week with a definition that I really took from Scripture as a working definition of mystery during this month. For there is nothing hid, this is Mark chapter 4. For there is nothing hid save that it should be manifested, neither was anything made secret, but that it should come to light. So we saw from that there are two basic components of mystery, and that is one of them being hiddenness and the other being revelation. Now, those two work together to create what we know of as mystery. Now, when we looked at the world, we began to unravel some of the mystery. There are some of the things that were hidden. We quickly discovered the basic simple machines around us. The wheel and axle, the inclined plane, the pulley, the wedge, and the screw. And we started taking those basic simple machines and combining them in different ways and interesting ways and creating complex machines. Then we took those complex machines and put them together and made more complex machines, and on it went. And this is the process of mystery being hidden and unveiled. Those machines, the principles were there, they had to be discovered. And we brought those out to be revealed, and we've gone from there. And we know a whole lot about technology now and about our world, and some of the things that we are inventing and putting together are absolutely amazing nowadays. However, look around you. There's the real mystery sitting next to you and all around you. That's where the real mystery lies, that which is hidden from us. So much of human nature and what it means to be human is hidden from us. So we're going to take a look today at the mystery of the self. There's an interesting quote I found some time ago. There's so much good. Oh, well, wow, fancy. There you go. Now, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it ill behooves any. And you have to be fast. It ill behooves any of us to find fault with the rest of us. There we go. Now, turn it off before it starts again. But here's one of the mysteries of humankind, is this matter of goodness and badness that is in all of us. And we haven't figured that one out quite yet, I don't think. Charles Fillmore gave us a statement about mystery that I thought was really wonderful, and particularly about humankind. He says that the law of generation is undoubtedly the mystery of mysteries in human consciousness. Men have probed with more or less success all the secrets of nature, but of the origin of life they know comparatively nothing. It is only when the inquiring mind transcends the human and rises to the spiritual realm that light comes. Now, I've heard it said that the self is hidden in individuality, and it is revealed in oneness. But I've also seen that used the other way around, to say the self is hidden in oneness and it is revealed in individuality. And this conundrum, if you will, it gives us an idea about this deep mystery that is the human self and the challenge of being able to look at it. Now, there are three components, if you will, of our human self, of many more that I want to look at this morning in the context of mystery. One of those is courage. Now, if I were to ask each one of you, do you have courage, you'd probably say, well, maybe. In right circumstance, yeah, whatever. But I don't know there'd be that many people say, yes, I do, absolutely. But courage is one of those things about us that is hidden in the mystery. And it does get revealed from time to time, but most of the time, it's not obvious to us. It's not seen there. We see it very often in the actions of our first responders, our police and firemen and others who serve in that way. And they do things that we definitely would label as courageous, going into burning buildings and staring down a gun and all kinds of things like that. So we know that this courage is a part of human nature, though we aren't real anxious to claim it for ourselves. It remains hidden within us, and that's okay. But the important thing is for you to know that despite the fact that it is hidden in us, it is there nevertheless. And that given the right circumstances, that courage will come forward and be manifested in some way. I read a story the other day in the paper about a house fire. The family's house was on fire, and I believe the child was like 6 years old, ran back into the burning house to rescue the pet. I think it was a dog, to bring the dog out of the fire. What do you call that? That's courage. You know, having the willingness to do something like that. And that is latent in all of us. I think we do ourselves a disservice when we see courage manifested in the way and say, oh, wow, look at that, as if it has nothing to do with us. We can only admire that courage manifested in someone else because it is in us already. Latent though it may be, it is there nevertheless. But it is important for us to affirm that piece of goodness in us that we would call courage and be ready when the time comes for that to be manifested. And the interesting thing about it, the interviews I've read of people who have done things that we would consider courageous often don't say, well, let's see, here's the situation here, and I think it requires courage. Let me see if I can find the courage and bring it forward and manifest it here. Nobody has ever said that's the way it happened. What happened, they saw a need, something moved within them, and they acted. And that's the way it will be with you. If you will admit right now and recognize right now that hidden within you, and you may not know what courage looks like. You may not know what color it is. You might not know what shape it is. You may not know what it feels like, but it is there. And if you're willing to say that, then you are ready when the time comes for that courage to be stirred and to come forward and be manifested and that mystery be revealed that is in you. In a similar vein, there's another component of our humanness, and that is compassion. Compassion is made of two words, calm and passion. Passion means feeling, calm means with or alongside of. So compassion means that we are able to feel things with other people. Now, what I've found in human beings is that if we feel compassion and can't do anything about it, we tend to just hide it again, stick it back in the mystery again. If I can feel compassion for someone and be able to do something, if I can put some money in somebody's hand, if I can do something physical to change the situation, that's great. But if we can't do that, we tend to back away from it. And I personally believe very strongly that feeling compassion for someone, whether you actually do anything about it or not, has value. If we look at it from an energetic point of view, when I hear of people who have been victims of a tsunami, across them on the other side of the world. And I don't know who to send any money to, and I can't go clean up anything, and I can't do anything, so we just kind of tend to put it out of our minds, say bless their hearts and forget about them. But I believe that holding compassion for those situations, allowing that which is stirred in us in that mystery of the self, that compassion that comes forth that says, I can feel with those people, I think that has value on an energetic level. I remember studying church history when I was in seminary. And there were this group of mystics who lived out in the desert, lived in a cave, and lived off of parched corn and warm water. And everybody thought they were crazy because they were out doing battle with the devil by themselves in these caves out in the wilderness, and they were praying all the time, praying and meditating all the time. And most people look at them and say, oh, they're crazy, you know, lunatics, you know, extremists, whatever else. It was interesting, my experience of church history was that when the teacher was talking about somebody and said, these were heretics, and I said, wait, I like these guys, you know? I like them better than the guys that we call heroes. And I really felt an affinity for these mystics who did their work out all by themselves on an energetic level. Now, nobody used the word energy back then, not for this situation. It was in the back of my mind. But I have a great admiration for them, and I think that when we feel that compassion within us, don't brush it off. Don't shove it back into the dark of mystery. Allow it to bring forward and allow it to come forward and allow yourself to feel that compassion, to feel what those people must be feeling and to care. Even if you can't do anything else, even if you don't do anything outwardly, still, that experience of compassion has value, it has worth, and it makes things happen. There is a level of activity in this world that we live in that operates on that level of mystery. I firmly believe, and maybe I'll be around so you can quote me on this someday, but we keep looking at the future and we think about what's going on in our world and what needs to happen, what needs to change, what we're going to have to do. If we continue like we're going now, we're going to take everything there is to take out of the earth, and we're going to starve ourselves to death or kill ourselves trying to fight for what's left, because we depend on this outward technology. And it's great. I'm all for science. I'm all for the technology. I'm all for the discoveries that we pull out of the mystery that is this world. But I do believe with all of my heart that that which will save the human race, that will take the human race to another level of being and experience, is spiritual technology. Not quantum technology, not mechanical technology, not electrical, not computer, any of that stuff. The technology that's going to save us and take us to the next level is spiritual technology. And that is hidden within us. That idea of knowing what is true is hidden within us. That's part of the mystery of the self. But remember that everything that is hidden was hidden so that one day it would be revealed and brought forth. And this is happening. It's not getting a lot of noise made. A lot of people aren't talking about it necessarily, more and more all the time, but still not much, about this spiritual technology. What really happens when we pray? What really happens when we meditate? What really happens when we concentrate on something of a spiritual nature? Something happens. And much of that is still in the mystery. We still don't know how to talk about it. You come out of meditation, it's always interesting to talk to people about spiritual experiences. And I found when they start doing this, it means that they've really gotten into something spiritual, because you don't have the words for it. And somehow this explains it, right? But have you ever had one of those experiences in meditation, and you come out of meditation and you can't even talk about it? You can't describe what happened. They're colors that have no names in this 3D world. They're feelings that have no description in this 3D world. That's a part of the spiritual technology that is in us, waiting for us to bring it forward. It's not hidden to keep it from us. It's hidden to protect that truth from us in our ignorance. And when we come to that place of, and to me, I think it's more the willingness to admit that it's there. To be able to say, I have within me the knowing of spirit. And because of that, I know this truth. And I know things that I don't even know I know yet. And I know things that I can't recognize yet. When we admit that and affirm that and understand that, it opens the door for that to come forth, to be revealed in us and through us. So there is this knowing. I heard a spiritual teacher say recently, one that I respect, saying that it's really interesting that we have to have someone in a white coat tell us what's going on inside our own bodies. I mean, really think about that. This is my body. It's operated by my mind. And I am responsible for what goes on in my body, yet I don't have a clue what's going on in my body. That's not the way it has to be. That's the way it has been. And that is the way of ignorant humankind. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. I just mean lack of knowledge. That's the way it is for many people. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because if we embrace the mystery of the self, within that mystery is the knowing of what's going on in our body. There are people now who can do this, who are in constant, total awareness of what is going on in their body. And if there's something's not right, they know it immediately. And they know what to do about it. Animals are like this. They have an instinct that is there. And ours is beyond instinct, because it is something that we can come to understand. It is something that we can come to know, and something that we can come to practice. It is a mystery that we can reveal, and we know what's going on in our body. How many of you ever say, well, I don't know what to do? You're faced with a situation. You have to make a choice. You can't just ignore it. You got to make a choice of some kind. You say, I don't know what to do. When people come in my office and sit down and say, I don't know what to do, you know what I say to them? Yes, you do. You do know what to do. You don't know that you know, but you know what to do. And I try to guide them in coming to their awareness, not to tell them what to do, but to guide them into an awareness that they know already. This is a part of the mystery of self that gets revealed in us, is this knowing about what is going on inside of my body, what is going on around me, what is happening. How many of you ever been to a psychic? Yeah, I thought so. That's okay, that's cool. Why do you do that? Because that person knows something you don't know, right? And I say, that person knows something you don't know yet, all right? Yeah, yes, exactly. So when we start looking around us and seeing situations where we need to know something, it begins by saying, I do know on some level. It's hidden in the mystery right now, but the mystery is there to be revealed. So what I don't know outwardly yet is there, and I do know it, and now I'm going to open up to let it happen. So I would challenge you, when you come up against something that you don't know, if you will say to Spirit, okay, Spirit, I am ready to know. I'm willing to know this right now, regardless of what it requires of me. And one of the reasons we often don't want to know something is because it requires something of us. It requires courage, and it requires compassion, and those things aren't immediately available either. So just like with the simple machines, when we started putting these simple machines together, we took the wheel and the axle and the pulley and put it together and created this machine that picks up great weight. We bring those things together. When you and I begin to recognize the mystery being revealed in us and say, oh, I can take this part of the mystery and bring it here and hold on to it, and I take this part of the mystery, and even though I don't have a use for it right now, there it is. I claim it right now. And when the time comes, these pieces start falling together, and instead of wringing your hands and running around in circles saying, I don't know what to do, you say, I know what to do. There it is. When you have something going on in your body and you're concerned and you don't know what's happening, instead of being frustrated and necessarily, and I'm not saying we shouldn't use doctors, don't hear me saying that, but I'm saying it doesn't have to be necessary. We can come to a place of saying, ah, I feel this, I'm sensing this, whatever, it's this, I know, because that rises, the mystery gets revealed. So we're in the process of acknowledging that which is hidden and then going about being open to that being revealed to us, being open to it. It may not happen in the moment. And that's one of the traps of being our human self, is that we want it right. Let me feel it. Let me touch it. Remember doubting Thomas when the story is told of Jesus appearing after the crucifixion? And Thomas said, well, I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the hole in his hand. And Jesus said, here. And Thomas said, okay. We're like that. And that's okay. That's the beginning. That's the child part of us that's not grown up yet, that's not matured, that's not aware now. And what I'm saying to you is that we can be aware of the presence in us without it being manifested necessarily. Be a part of the mystery. I don't intend to talk this whole month about mystery just so you can say, oh, there's mystery out there. All right, what's next? What I want to encourage you to do, invite you to do, is step into the mystery. Be a part of it. Know that there's a part of you that is hidden, that is just itching to be revealed, waiting to be exposed out into life and to be used. So there is that compassion within us. There is that courage within us. There is that spiritual knowing that is in us. And I challenge you simply to say, I am open to the mystery being revealed. I don't know it all right now. I don't understand it all right now, but here I am. I'm right in the middle of it. And I found for my own life, very often when that mystery gets revealed, it feels so natural when it comes forward. This knowing that we can have about ourselves and about our world, when that happens, it just feels so right and so natural and so normal, and I don't have to fuss about it and push and pull and tug. It's just there. And we say yes. That's where we're headed. And I say to you again, so you remember it and quote me, that one day, spiritual technology, which is coming out of the mystery of life, being revealed out of this mystery where it is hidden, spiritual technology is that which will save humankind and to take us to the next level of being that's waiting for us. That's yours. And I challenge you to claim it. So this week, homework. I was so pleased to hear from several of you who took the homework seriously that I gave you before about putting everything else aside and just allowing mystery to be there. And I've gotten some wonderful stories about that. So if you've done that, go back and do what you've been doing this week. Yeah, because everybody was saying, oh my gosh, I can't get by without journaling. I can't get by without meditating in my prayer time or whatever else. And that's okay. It gave you a new appreciation for it. But this week, allow mystery to become a part of everything you do, every breath you take, because it's all around you. And when you catch yourself saying, I don't know, I challenge you to say, well, I don't know, but I'm not aware of it. I mean, I do know, but I'm not aware of it, because the answer that I need is hidden in the mystery, but that hiddenness was meant to be revealed. And here I am. I'm open to mystery being revealed right here, right now, in me and around me. That's the way it's supposed to be. So do your homework and let me know about it. God bless you in the mystery.
And now we look forward to sharing our offering together. We are so appreciative of those who are our sustaining friends and members who contribute regularly to continue our thriving here. I want to share with you that through the past months, you know, we've given the church tithes on our gross income. We step out there in faith with being thankful for what we've received, and at the same time knowing that the energy blesses us to receive more and give more, and it's a wonderful circulation. So in the past, I've shared that through the holidays, we gave a gift to Broward Outreach Center for their serving food of the homeless. We also send every month our tithe portion to Unity Worldwide Ministries as we support the Unity movement. But at our board meeting this past week, we voted to send a good portion of our January tithe to Unity Worldwide for their Puerto Rico Relief Fund. I know that our compassion is brought forward with everything going on in Puerto Rico. So we have sent them $559.62 and wanted you to know that that was fine. We've received thank you letters from the agencies we've given to, and we'll post them on the bulletin board so you just can take a look and feel good about it because it's a portion of what you give here. Let's bless our gift together. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. Everywhere we go, I mess it up every time. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. And our wonderful musicians, I forgot to introduce them today. So welcome, guys. Thank you.
I don't know what to do now. Yes, I do. That's John Rose at the piano. Orlando Machado at the drum set. Here's a little song we got from that guy, Jason Mraz.